RTD Live Talk, Detroit's number one late night YouTube talk show. We are live for a Monday night edition. Excited to be back. Looking forward to connecting and finding out what's on your radar. There's more than enough stories worth touching on. So I have about five or six different subjects to touch on here, share my two cents on it, but more importantly, you know, check in with you guys and find out what's going on. So welcome to live stream. My name is Mike. I want to make sure I welcome any first-time viewers to the community. Feel free to let me know where you're watching from in the chat. And then when the phone lines open up, we'd love to hear your voice directly. Number 313-462-0027. Feel free to give me a call and let me know what's on your radar. All right, people. Looking forward to connecting. It feel like it's been a while. was it last Wednesday, I think, since we last connected live for a little one-on-one action. But we're here now. Want to make it count for sure. But man, where do I start? Debt. Unlimited debt. You know, the world doesn't go around unless somebody's out here. I can't even say borrowing no more, because borrowing, it usually leads to the idea of also repaying. But yet when there is no chance of repaying, what do you call it? I call it a heist. Stealing. Yeah, theft. Okay, that sounds right. But anyway, there's several different buzzwords that just keep, you know, catching my attention. And it has to do with the current overseer of United States financial matters. And it happens to be with the Janet Yellen, former Federal Reserve chairwoman, continually talking about the idea of basically removing any restrictions on the debt limit or the government's ability to borrow to pay back prior promises. And of course, we have over 157 trillion promises that will need to be repaid between now and the time they're due in the future. That's including Medicare, Social Security, and all those other programs that were established after the Great Depressionary time period over close to 100 years ago. But anyway, so this debt ceiling debacle, the can was kicked down the road about 6 weeks or so. But yet the problems have intensified because this political charade of the left, right, GOP not going to participate, all this stuff, all this political theater behind the surface, it's going to put the politicians themselves in a much tighter mess. Therefore, Congress, and if this video I'm going to share with you in a minute, the reporter that was interviewing Yellen last night basically mentioned that the likelihood or the possibility of Congress making a mistake, because they're due for one, and there being some issues with the voting side of things causing more problems than good, will more than likely be what happens, to where the end result of all this is that they're going to have to move any type of debt restrictions and therefore create an environment of unlimited spending without any hindrance because of all those prior promises, especially the ones that are on the table as well. So we'll talk about that. But anyway, welcome to the community, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. As always, feel free to throw out any stories or any subjects relevant to what's all going on in the chat, and then I'll try to pull it up, give or take if I can. And then also for those that are tuning in, if you don't mind, hit the thumbs up button, show your support for the channel. Hopefully a few more people are notified. And then also, if there's any stories directly that you guys want me to touch on, it's always best to just send it to me directly. So this link right here, rtdnews@protonmail.com. Feel free to send an article or something there, and I'll try to pull it up and share it with the community and whatnot. And of course, a lot of these subjects here come from the Discord page where the community get to share it throughout the day. So feel free to do that. So what I'll do is I'll jump in real quick, welcome a couple people, acknowledge a couple people for taking time to put something out there in the chat, and then we'll jump right in and open the phone lines once I get through all these articles, subject lines. But anyway, we got Rolf checking in. That says, Brandon needs to make it rain. Yeah, let's go, Brandon. That's becoming a very popular meme. I've seen some shirts and whatnot. Interesting, man. Interesting. It says, with another $6 trillion of funny money. Oh, yeah, be patient. You know, but it's coming. The only thing they can do is spin. That's the only way out of this game is to spin. It's coming. But yet, as it comes, it's going to create even more pain and more suffering. But anyway, it's bound to happen. We got Hammering Truth. We got Solo in the building. We got Low Blood Pressure. We got Gene. Rolf says UK industry about a week away from having to start shutting down due to huge energy prices increases. Yes, we're going to touch on that as well. We got Jordan checking in. We got Blue Smoker says Carnival nine time. We got Mr. Steve 72. We got Jane checking in. DC Precise, JoJo. We got S400 Mobius. Jermaine Scott checking in. All right, a fair amount of people here. We got Ed. S400. Robert, appreciate you guys for hanging out, man. As always, I want to, you know, make sure I provide an opportunity for you guys to let your voice be heard. So feel free to bring some topics to the table. You know what I'm saying? Your voice, your topic. And I want to definitely hear from you guys. But just want to share up front some things that caught my attention. And of course, it's, you know, a lot of headlines going on right now. But I like to look at the continuous dropping of certain subject matters that go usually fly under the radar, but they carry so much weight because it's a little insight as to what will possibly come into effect at some point. And so JB says Red October. So they say, any moment now. And here's the thing. And I'm also curious to get your guys' thoughts on my interview last week with Carl Denninger. Of course, great. You know, he just, you know, shot it straight, man. And based upon the environment we're in now, you know, it's clear that we're experiencing stagflationary pressures at all fronts. You know, so they want to preach a recovery, but everything is slowing down. But the slowdown is intentional. They're like literally withholding goods and services. They're creating these tight pinches, you know, so of course, pushing these mandates, causing people to have to make tough decisions as to whether or not they're going to stay employed or walk away or whatever. And so the consequences of that is definitely coming within the next couple of weeks or months. And then we're still being told that whole labor shortage narrative, which I doubt it is as much of a problem as they want it to be, because that plays into the idea of shortages. Shortages here, shortages there. And it's all about basically creating more fear, more panic is what they do best. But yet some of us are able to see through that. SG, I see that, man, says quit my job yesterday, the mandate on the construction industry. My man, sorry to hear that, man. And definitely, hopefully you have some things lined up. And that's another thing, man. So I haven't started yet, but just so much stuff comes to mind. And I'm thinking about the fact that that's one of the benefits, I think, of just, you know, having learned from the early church in reference to how Acts and, of course, all the epistles flowed in regards to the way the body of Christ was supposed to come together during times of hardship to be able to help provide the needs of other believers. And that's one thing. It's no longer taught in this day and age, because the government, having got in on the religion game with those tax exemptions, pretty much removed the churches from being able to come in and step in and help people when need be. But moving ahead, man, I something that's been on my mind a lot is just, you know, understanding kingdom economics in regards to how believers should be able to step up for one another. And for those that are doing well during times of this, be able to bless other businesses, especially if they're members of the body of Christ. And so definitely I'm open to ideas on how to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, man, navigate these troubled waters, because I am of the mindset that, you know, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so there's people out there who are doing extremely well, and it's a matter of being able to connect us and basically provide aid when needed, man. So that's something I definitely want to look into further. So I'm open to ideas or whatnot. But anyway, enough of me rambling, but let me share with you a couple things here that kind of led to the thoughts for tonight in regards to how, you know, unlimited spending is approaching fast, and it's going to be coming because there's multiple problems on the horizon. The first one happens to be the intended expenditures that were put out there, the infrastructure bill and the Build Back Better agenda and all that other stuff, and then just the agreement on some dollar amount for the budget moving forward for the next fiscal year. That's still, it's not even nowhere near solved. And they got 6 weeks to figure that out. And it's I just have this gut feeling that within the next 6 weeks, ideally referring to the December 3rd timeframe, the possibility of there being some type of hiccup or glitch in the system when it comes to an event occurring, whether it be financially, whether it be this whole pandemic situation, or a geopolitical event in the Eastern Hemisphere, or just overall debt issue, anything can give. And if anything gives, then therefore Congress will be forced to respond. And, you know, just the idea of Yellen continuously dropping these buzzwords on needing to remove the debt ceiling, as if that's ever prevented them from, you know, issuing more debt, therefore spending more than they could ever repay back anyway. But I got a feeling that as a part of her narrative of continuing to lay these buzzwords of removing the debt ceiling, Congress will be forced to do that. And I think she's actually, there's a game plan for that, I believe, because we've already witnessed everything that, you know, the Federal Reserve can do for themselves. You know, we've witnessed how limited they are in their ability to actually make a difference in the mainstream economy, because all their activities with the reverse repo and quantitative easing, all that stuff circulates in the system for the banking sector, providing liquidity and just confidence for the global economy. But then again, it's only about what the fiscal side of things can actually take place. And that's from the government. And I think Congress, because they're in such a shambles right now, they're setting themselves up to trip over their own feet, in a sense. And they're going to definitely make some errors within the next couple of weeks and be forced to issue more currency than we could have ever saw coming. But anyway, let me get to a couple articles real quick. And then I want to share with you this video here. But let me share with this with you here. This is what I was referring to. But this is something that caught my attention today early. And it's not one of the primary subject matters, but it's important because this plays into the threat against our financial future, which is reassured because the fiscal side of things is really going to kick in soon. But says Treasury Secretary Yellen says she wants to get rid of the debt ceiling as McConnell threatens another default standoff in 2 months. And so Treasury Secretary Yellen, a former banker, former Federal Reserve chairwoman, who's in charge of our financial matters, wants to get rid of the government's ability to have restrictions on the amount of currency that they can issue or the amount of debt that they can take on. And of course, the reason this is so concerning is because not only is there just a mere, you know, $2-3 trillion that's due annually with prior expenditures that, you know, that comes due, but then also you have just the overall debt load of $28 trillion. Just the interest payments is needed for that. And then you factor in all the other trillions upon trillions of liabilities that's due. There's going to be an unlimited need for borrowing or spending or stealing in the days ahead. And so it's just a matter of time before they remove the ceiling. But here's a little article here, but it ultimately points down to some things she said in this little video here. So I'm going to play this little clip for a minute and just I'm going to pull out some of the words that caught my attention, because I think it's very telling as to the groundwork that she's trying to lay. But just listen to this for 1 second.
Cause a recession and could even result in a financial crisis. It would be a catastrophe.
But you know, Madam Secretary, we've seen this cycle so many times. At some points, the votes just aren't going to be there. Congress is going to make a mistake, a miscalculation. I know you support eliminating the debt limit. Have you convinced the president to back you on that?
Well, look, it's really up to Congress. Yes, I have said I support personally getting rid of the debt ceiling. I believe that once Congress and the administration have decided on spending plans and tax plans, it's simply their responsibility to pay the bills that result from that. And that means we've had deficits for most of the post-war period. And that means raising the debt ceiling. It's a housekeeping chore. There's really, we should be debating the government's fiscal policy when we decide on those expenditures and taxes, not when the credit card bill comes due.
You call it housekeeping chore. Others say it's a charade at this point. Why not consider alternatives? You know, several members of Congress have recommended this $1 trillion coin.
Well, I wouldn't be supportive of a $1 trillion coin. I think it's a gimmick, and it jeopardizes the independence of the Federal Reserve. You would be asking to essentially print money to cover the deficit. This is a responsibility. It's a shared bipartisan responsibility. It's been raised almost 70 times since 1965, almost always on a bipartisan basis. And no one party is responsible for the need to do this. I believe it should be a shared responsibility, not the responsibility of any one party.
All right, so there you have it. Shared responsibility just of paying bills on a credit card. But then again, the credit card they're focusing on is just about this current little debt issue we have here, not to mention the trillions upon trillions of past debt that's due as well at some point. And that's why I say that it's my opinion that within the next couple of maybe next quarter or two, give or take, if things are able to remain stable, they're going to have to make an adjustment as far as basically removing all restriction off Congress, because they're going to run into some unforeseen events, as well as the debacle that's taking place in D.C. Something's going to give, and they're going to need to really crank up the expenditures. Therefore, that right there will open up the floodgates, which is what the monetary policy side of things need, because the Federal Reserve is right there to back all that up. So all that debt that will be created will be monetized right away. It's going to hit the streets, and therefore the diminishing of purchasing power will pick up so fast it is going to make our head spin. And then just keep moving right along. Here's another little article I want to share with you guys, just to show you how serious this is. You know, because they're just talking about the debt ceiling and paying prior bills, which is, you know, just, you know, monthly checks, you know, paying interest on current, you know, debt obligations or whatnot. But here's a real issue here. Supernatural. U.S. unfunded liabilities at 5.46 times the national debt outstanding. But Treasury has a new quarter. And so this is just interesting here. Talks about a 28-point trillion. But then again, it doesn't mention, they don't talk about, the U.S. has promised $157 trillion in unfunded liabilities in Social Security and Medicare, which is also a part of the ticket as well. So as Janet Yellen just mentioned, since the Vietnam War in the 60s, she's talking about they've raised the debt limit 70 times. And so that's why there's going to be such a push to just remove any restrictions. This is about removing the handcuffs off of Uncle Sam so that they can literally get this thing started. Because as of right now, it's no way. It is no way that they'll be able to get all the future plans underway as far as those Build Back Better plan, all those plans, and also be able to meet prior obligations at the same time. Something has to give, and it's going to be the restrictions removed off of government to just borrow unlimited. So the reason I really make a point about that is because once the handcuffs are taken off and there will be no restrictions on what can be borrowed, think about the amount of Federal Reserve notes that's going to be brought into existence, both digitally as well as the paper notes. And therefore, if they're talking about the inflation narrative now, they're saying the price is going up, you know, it's been, 3 months, over 5.2%. And that's just according to their fake statistics. But yet the real ones in the streets is 9, 10, 11, 12%. Think about how much faster things are going to pick up. And also, it's my personal opinion that the money velocity, which over the last several years have been trending downwards because more people have been forced to save as a way of providing a little cushion for themselves. But at some point, as more layoffs continue because of this pandemic mandate stuff, people will be forced to make some tough decisions. Therefore, a lot of people will stop saving, stop investing in the markets, whoever is, you know, in the financial legacy markets anyway. And actually, all those currency units will be forced at some point to hit the street because people will need to be, they will need more units of currency for the very few goods that's out there. So it's just stuff was happening, man. And I see this happening probably within the next year, barring some event, just unseen. But just here is the continuation of, as it says here, as mandatory spending, entitlements is projected to keep on growing while discretionary spending has flatlined. So we have government spending going up and discretionary spending has pretty much remained stagnant. And then, yeah, just more stuff, man. But what is this all about? This leads to, let me share with you here. This, and so at the same time all this is happening, you better believe we're going to start hearing more talk. And so this is just an article I came across from last week. But this is one of about two or three articles I've seen from different, you know, these are our opinion pieces. But remind you, every opinion piece is a paid for advertisement for an agenda, ultimately. But it says the end of physical currency cash is certainly drawing near. Oh, really? So at the same time, Uncle Sam is about to just crank up the spigot and borrow and spend into wazoo. They're also going to need to address the inflation as it probably gets out of hand. And they're also going to be looking to bring in that new monetary network as well, i.e. the CBDC stuff. So expect some policies in between that will probably put more of a clamp down on people escaping to physical cash as the real negative rates eventually go negative from the, you know, Fed fund side of things, as well as on the banks. And so cash will be a threat at that point for some. So just more stuff worth mentioning here, but the narrative is being laid out here. We all know what's happening. And of course, this cash and even all this debt that I'm referring to that's going to be brought into existence, it happens to be denominated or named, or the actual unit of a currency I'm referring to is this note right here, the Federal Reserve note. So as I always say, for those that might be new to the community, there's two types of dollars. You have this kind, which has already been weaponized. And this is the primary tool that they're going to use to confiscate all your current and future purchasing power as a way of trying to meet the obligations of paying current debt as well as future obligations. So this is a threat. As I always say before, this will be your greatest financial liability into this decade, because this is the tool that they use to basically, you know, pull the greatest heist in humanity, fiat currency. But then again, on another note, there's something else called the United States Mint dollar. And so it's two different dollars. I always say you got the paper one, you got the metal one. Take your pick. One's going to be around and one's not. One's going to absorb all this purchasing power. The other one's going to take away from you. So, yeah, somebody said, Michael says toilet paper. All right, man, a couple more subjects here, then I'll move on, man. Let me get you guys a couple more stories here. Just things that caught my attention, worth talking about. And so I can't help myself, but, you know, the Evergrande, however you pronounce it, is not the only. So we had the Evergrande situation. Last week we had Fantasia Development Company. And then it says here, Chinese developer Scenic says likely to default on bond repayments. So that is approximately three big time Chinese or Asian developers that is having problems paying back their debt. And as of now, the PBOC is not stepping in. I wonder why. I think they're ready to pull the plug. And the plug could actually, the plug makes it appear as if it's going to completely demolish their economy. And mind you, I've saw stories of how the total real estate market in China makes up a good portion of their GDP. So they'll, you know, the Chinese government would definitely take a major blow. But then again, I don't really think they're concerned with that in its entirety, because it's our suspicion that there's also sitting on the greatest hedge against their own internal problems. And it happens to be of what's inside of their vaults, which nobody actually knows the true amount of gold they're sitting on that could easily be revalued and come in and clean up some of that mess that's taking place in the dollar denominated debt debacle that's unfolding. So the Chinese contagion is continuing on, and this could be some type of event, I think, that spills out into the world, which it definitely will, and it will counter what's happening here in the U.S. So that, like I said last week, there could be the Asian as well as the American, you know, debt debacle that runs into each other, creating that great cataclysmic event that would definitely leave things in a very predictable situation for those that are awake and aware, but it would be a complete shock for the majority of the world who has no clue as to what's going on. But if you've been plugged into alternative media, you know what's going on. And so it's a race to acquire and to accumulate as much real stuff as you can, so that you'll not be, you know, out there stuck lacking what you need, as well as, you know, holding Federal Reserve liabilities that will definitely drain your purchasing power. Nature Knows, I appreciate the love offer, my friend. Thank you for being a blessing to the channel. Just another little something else here. Chinese builders scramble for ways to avoid bond defaults. And so just a little visual aid here showing the increase in China's dollar junk bond yields. And so things are really becoming problematic there. You know, if you want to invest in some companies in China that's going belly up, you can probably get a nice little yield right now on lending them funds. Probably, you know, you could probably yield about 17% if you want to give your funds up. But I'm not quite sure that's worth your while, because it's going to go a lot higher. But anyway, just a little things here talking about debt. Here's another one here. China's bond market slump again as new Evergrande deadline passes. So, yeah, debt is a major problem. And then keep it moving right along. A couple more stories and I'll open the phone lines. I couldn't help but talk about what's happening over this past week. And Southwest Airlines. So imagine thousands of people stranded, stuck in the airports. Like, imagine how, you know, it's just something you didn't foresee coming. And I was thinking about, you know, just, you know, travel in general right now. Given that there's so much uncertainty, at any minute something could occur that leave you stranded. And then especially there's more reports out here about those that have participated, i.e. pilots. And it was a Delta pilot, according to one of the stories I saw earlier, a Delta pilot who passed away in midair after having participated with his second jab, as well as all the other flight attendants that have succumbed to not the actual pandemic, but the result of the injection itself. So it's unfortunate, man. But, you know, once again, thousands of people stuck, man. It's not an ideal situation to be in, but it is what it is. And then to factor in the energy crisis, the self-inflicted energy crisis is being done by the overseers of this entire pandemic. And so why all of a sudden now is the electricity, you know, gas prices, you know, natural gas prices, all those prices going through the roof? It all starts at the top. And, you know, there's not evidence, but there's a video I would encourage you guys to listen to where someone who works directly in the ports in LA was basically saying that, you know, the public is being lied to. And if they're lying about these shortages of goods and services, then it's good to say they've created these, you know, crises here when it comes to electricity and power. So here we got Lebanon in the dark last couple of days, give or take. And so these are all events that are occurring in other regions of the world, but it's great lessons for us to learn, because at any minute, and I would assume you can all agree with me that any minute between now and the next several months, these events will mysteriously make their way over here to the U.S. to where there could be some events like this in the U.S. That, you know, catch a lot of people by surprise. And then here, I already showed you guys this one. Then here's just a little bit something on UK. You know, energy crisis could force more UK factories to close. So because of the cost of keeping the doors open, i.e. via with energy, more businesses are forced to make some tough decisions, just because you can't do both. You can't keep your doors open, make payroll, as well as, you know, have operating business if your lights aren't on, if your power is inconsistent, or if it costs you more to power things and keep the lights on than it is to actually, you know, be able to turn a profit. You got some choices to make. So just more information here. UK tomato and cucumber farmers shut down production over energy crisis and labor shortages. So here we have the food industry, farmers shutting down. Yeah, just not ideal, man. Not ideal. So in the UK, it might be a dark winter in that region there. So anyway, I got more articles, but I'll hold them off for now. I've done enough rambling. But before I dive in and open up the phone lines, feel free to chime in. Let me know what you want to talk about. Before I do that, let me share with you guys just a little bit on my side to make sure I do all the, you know, my maintenance on my back end. Hold up for 1 second. Visit Rethinking the Dollar throughout the day, your place for news on metals, gold, crypto, you name it. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll get a chance to see the daily videos, the recommended videos, and more importantly, the 5 reasons to unplug from the monetary matrix, with the first one being the awakening period. Step number one, test your dollar IQ. 10 simple questions, average of 60%, follow up with the alternative perspective with the monetary reports. Consider becoming a supporter of the Rethinking the Dollar platform via Patreon. Get a chance to hang out off air, as well as additional information that can't be discussed on YouTube. Any support is helpful. With the crackdown on alternative media, the best thing to do is to connect off air. Scroll down to the very bottom. You can find Rethinking the Dollar on Telegram, Audio, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, you name it. The most important ones will be the email list, where you can get notified weekly, the Discord page, and make sure you connect on Telegram. And last, don't forget to visit the RTD store, where you can get merchandise as well as additional information and resources. And most importantly, scroll down to the bottom and get your weight up with all the limited edition rounds only available on the RTD store. All right, there you have it. Just need to do a little maintenance on my side. But anyway, let's talk, man. The phone lines are open. Give me a call. I'm curious to hear what you're on your radar, man. Lots of things worth touching on. I have about 3-4 more articles, but I'll save those for towards the end. But I'm curious to hear what's on your mind. What have you guys been keeping an eye on? Let me know, or just feel free to throw it out in the chat and I'll try to jump on it and let you know what's going on. But let me see. I see some thoughts here. As Gene says, food is definitely attacked from all angles. 100%. The strategy that's at play is clearly you cut out the food, water, and energy, and you put people in a very tight situation where they have to make some very uncomfortable decisions. It puts people in more of a dependency state, to where now, you know, once there's desperation across the board, more people are now basically on their knees begging for the basic necessities of life. Then it's easier to roll out whatever plan they have. And of course, we all know the evilness behind this, and the overall agenda, because they meaning the orchestrators of this experience. And, you know, I was actually watching a clip. I missed a call. Give me a call back. I'll get you on here. But I was reading a little excerpt from what I haven't read the book for myself yet, but Klaus Schwab's book, The Great Reset. And it was like a little two paragraph paper out of there. And he was giving some of the details and the Committee of 300, which is that group of individuals that supposedly be the overlords of the earth type of thing. So I'm going to dive into that more. But anyway, hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike, Steve, Region 9.
Steve, what's going on, my friend? What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short for you, but I'll tell you a quick story. My son and I went to Buffalo Wild Wings out here in Region 9, and one person ordered like a Mai Tai or something, and the young lady said, let me check. So she went and checked. She came back, we don't have the ingredients for that. Right. So the person just got a Chardonnay or something. And then she said, would you guys like any appetizer or anything like that? And somebody said, onion rings. Uh-huh. And she comes back a couple of minutes later and go, we don't have any onion rings.
Damn. Menu's kind of short, huh? Little thin menu, huh? Wow.
Yeah. I was waiting for her to come back and say, okay, you guys ordered a burger. We don't have any. I was waiting to come back and say we don't have any ground beef, but you can still get that toast bun with some lettuce, pickles, and mustard or something on it. anyway,
oh man, yeah, that's yeah. So I would assume there's gonna be more stories like that popping up around places. So yeah, I haven't come across any stories like that yet as far as being told that they're not in stock or whatever, but I'd imagine it's coming, man.
Yeah, that just happened to us yesterday at Buffalo Wild Wings out here in California.
Yeah.
But what I called is there's two videos I dropped to you, and then I'll get off the line. There's two videos I dropped to you, one from the Epic Economist, and they're talking about we think about the cargo that's on the ships sitting out there, but there's workers on those ships too that have not been on land in over a year. And that's what the video talks about. It's in your email there.
Yeah. Let me see if I can.
And if you can post those to the community, and whoever's not on, can't get to it, they can just YouTube Epic Economist and pull that same video.
Bet.
And the other one which I know nothing about, so hopefully somebody in the community can help with this, is another email that I sent to you right there also, and it's called the UN's Better Than Cash Alliance. I know nothing about it. It was close to your show starting, so I didn't have time to take a look at it to see exactly what it is, but it's obviously dealing with getting rid of cash and ushering people in. So I left a link on the email there.
Bet.
People can look at it. I didn't have time to look at it, but
okay, I'll check it out. All right, man. Appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you.
That's about it.
All right. Good deal, man. I appreciate you calling and sharing that. I'll look for those and get them up there with the community. Thank you.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Be good. Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. People, give me a call. And so I see something here. Let me see. I'm just coming through here real quick. I see something about some Evergrande, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see what this is here. So just pop this up here. Let me see what we got here. This is something that was just sent to me. Evergiven, Q1 2021, Evergrande, Q4 2022. Chinese financial system could collapse. What reserves may Evergrande bombshell mean for Australia? Interesting. Evergreen. yeah, somebody making a joke of that. All right, man, let's talk, man. Give me a call. What else is going on your radar, man? What else you guys keep an eye on? And so speaking of which, okay, so here's a video so earlier today I saw a video on Stu Peters on Rumble. So make sure everybody, if you're not, make sure you go get connected on Rumble. Rethinking the Dollars on Rumble. And there's a lot of great commentators and content on Rumble. And it appears to be separated from the system as of now. But anyway, so this video here real quick, LA port workers says shortages are fake. So he interviewed somebody, anonymous guy who works on the port last 18 years. And he was basically giving his take as to what he sees on the ground unloading the cargo ships. And he is saying that, you know, there is more than enough of everything. There was every prior order that was, you know, was expected to be, you know, sent to the U.S. is here. And when they unload all the containers, and he was saying that most of the goods, they don't make them to their destination because they're deliberately somehow, some way, the orders that are being given from up top, all the goods and services, somehow, some way, they make themselves to a holding station, i.e. some type of, you know, a plant or something like that, or a warehouse or something like that. So they're being stashed more than likely. So and he's like, there is no shortage. He's like, all our typical containers make it in here. And he is like to basically to prove all that, you know, shortage stuff wrong. He said that his port, which is the most used, heavily populated port, whatever, their numbers from what they've done over the last year has surpassed Hong Kong. And according to him, Hong Kong has been the leading port, you know, of manufactured goods coming and going. And he said that the LA port has surpassed them. So he's like, it's not like, you know, we're not empty over here. We don't have just empty shells, or we're not working over here. He's like, we have everything we need coming in here. It's just not making its way to its destination. And he's like, obviously somebody's making sure they don't make it to their destination. And so that plays into the idea that there's an intentional push to make sure the shells are not stocked for this upcoming season. So we got all the mainstream narrative saying that, you know, Christmas might be, you know, short this year, or the shells might be empty. That's their spin on what they are intentionally trying to manufacture. They want shelves to be empty. They want there to be a panic. They want this holiday season to be an issue, because that plays into their narrative of what we're already witnessing all around the world. So just a little, you know, great little interview here if you guys are interested on Rumble, something worth checking into. So, but anyway, keep it moving, man. Aaron says shortage is by design. No doubt, man. And so here's the thing. I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when one of the hurricanes hit Puerto Rico, and all the aid, all the FEMA aid, all the, you know, goods and supplies that was sent down there was stashed in warehouses. And it was a year or two after the fact that I remember watching video footage where a lot of the Puerto Rican people basically uncovered all these warehouses full of food, full of all the emergency material that was sent to them. And it was deliberately withheld. And so you got to ask yourself, who would have that much power to be able to receive those goods, stash them, and then, for, you know, basically not deliver them to the people? And it's good to say it was the Puerto Rican government, as well as probably FEMA themselves. You know what I'm saying? So think about this. Every problem, or every so-called problem we're experiencing, is just not a coincidental, you know, once in a lifetime experience. It's literally been done by politicians, in my opinion, by governments, and of course, by all these agencies. So they are the primary culprits to all the world's problems. And so nothing is by design. Daryl says bottled water. Yep. Let me see here. It says, I can't wait. Who said that? It says, yep, I remember that. My was says, saw somebody says, I can't wait. Mr. said, I can't wait to buy the G.I. Joe Dow. Yeah. We got can't create a shortage. U.S. government storing it to sell later and have a huge markup. That is true, but that's the thing. For some reason, I don't. I would find, well, it's never say never, but as far as the U.S. government deliberately withholding it to sell it to the populace later, in what currency? You know, I don't think they're wanting to sell it. I think they want to ration it out in accordance to your compliance on whatever they demand from you. So just think about all the sci-fi movies, all the horror movies that we've seen before, how you get into a situation where you have a complete totalitarian style government that somehow, some way, uses an event or a natural disaster as a way of, you know, basically getting people to walk down a much finer line of obedience, forfeiting some of their rights, forfeiting some of their past privileges, just out of sheer desperation. And as I mentioned before, food, water, shelter, and energy, those are the four primary needs for the most part for humanity. And of course, the ability to have purpose and meaning and financial security and all those other things. But the more of those avenues that they cut off, the more desperate your average person will be. And so that is the ultimate goal for everything we're experiencing. And that's why, in my opinion, like, we're literally just in the beginning innings of how bad this staged event is going to be. And it's all geared around the pandemic. You know, the idea that there's a health issue that we're all facing. And the only way for us to overcome this is to have everybody participate. And those are just the some of the things that people don't, you know, the average person don't tend to question. They just go along with it. And it's unfortunate because we're finding out more and more how people who participate, they're putting themselves in a much greater position of damage than anything else. Let me see here. It says U.S. is going down fast. Linda, very true. Ant says create the problem and provide the solution. Yeah. Hegelian dialect. Shortage coming, basically already here. To take money out of the bank, solar flare hit the earth and cause earthquakes. Keep an eye on La Palma. Yeah, so I saw an article today saying that expect within the next couple of hours or today or something like that, depending on what part of today we're referring to, whether it's, you know, Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, but that some event, i.e. a solar flare, could hit, causes internet issues. So we'll see, but I hear a lot about that. I haven't paid attention to it. I've yet to experience it directly, so hopefully it doesn't happen, but you know, be prepared somehow, some way. Hello, Carlos. Where are you calling from?
It's Ed. How you doing, Mike?
Ed, I'm doing good, my friend. What's on your mind tonight?
You know who my two heroes are? Mario and low blood pressure. Every time I hear low blood pressure, he seems happy. His kids are screaming in the background. He's partying. He's spending money.
Uh-huh.
Mario's playing golf, laying low, you know, playing it cool when he's over there, you know, in England. I think we worry too much, man. God wants us to have life abundantly. And, you know, I start running in fear from Obama. I'm prepped up to my throat, man. I'm going to start living large and start living abundantly. I'm tired of being too prepped up and too worried, man. Let's live life. Let's get prepped up and live life and have some fun. Just enjoy life. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thanks. For sure, man. I appreciate that. Good stuff, man. Yeah, and that is great words of advice, man. Great words of wisdom, man. So definitely, that's one of the things where, you know, I am attempting to get more of the spiritual essence of things into these conversations, because if you only talk about what's occurring in the natural, it does look like there is no way out or no way around it. But then again, that's the importance of faith, man, because, you know, outside of what is being done, there's still opportunity within each and every one of us to project and to impose our life's gifts and our callings upon the world as well. And I think, as I started off early, for those that may not have been there, one of our brothers here in the community was mentioning how he had to make some tough decisions as far as his job's sake. And the first thing that came to my mind is, like, you know, as believers, man, like, whether you're a believer or not, you know, I think the body of Christ, you know, as a unit, you know, as the member of a body of Christ, I feel like if there's something I can do, if it's something that I'm capable of doing, I would want to be a blessing. And that's where I think, Ed, especially, like, you know, being that, you know, you appear to be aware and well prepared for any type of events, you know, ideas, suggestions on how to, you know, be a blessing to other people. Let's do that type of stuff. So I got to now, you know, figure out how can, you know, the RTD community itself basically be there to support one another, because some people somewhere may not be as well off as others, but yet I think the body of Christ is able to step in to fill some of those gaps so that there'll be no lack and no need. And so that's one of the benefits and promises of God, that, you know, his children should have no lack. And that lack is usually filled in with substance from other people who have abundance. And so I think that's something I'm really going to try to work on somehow, some way. So open for ideas in that regards there. But in regards to, you know, living in abundance, living and enjoying life, definitely do that every day, man. That's why the word of God. And as I mentioned before, I'm spending more time investing into my spiritual accounts, depositing the word of God, just because I know I need it now, but I'm going to need it more so in the days ahead. And that's reassuring to know that I've been told to be of good courage and don't worry and, you know, have faith. And so all those key components there are crucial. And if things are, you know, things aren't really bad now, they're not as great as I would like for them to be, but yet knowing that where we're heading and according to the scripture, things are going to get tougher, but yet they're going to get tougher for a reason. And that's a good thing, because it gives us a chance to put our faith to work. You know, faith is supposed to be working somehow, some way, and it shows up in our actions and in our talk. So I'm going to try to talk big, even if I may not be feeling it. I'm going to talk big, trusting the Lord to back it up. Anyway, I appreciate you, Ed. But anyway, give me a call, man. Curious to hear what's going on, man. Lots of subs worth touching on. I'm curious what's, you know, here, what's on your radar, and keep it moving. But I see a lot of stuff about Fauci out here. And so isn't it interesting how the narrative changes where I think it was last week, Fauci said that he don't think that we'll be able to gather for Christmas. And then again, I heard something about, Halloween. It's good for the kids to go out on Halloween or something like that. I'm thinking like, think about the religious connotation between those two. You know, Christmas usually associated with, the birth of Christ and giving, stuff like that. Whereas in Halloween associated with ghosts and goblins and scaring people and fear. But that's okay. But the other one is not. It just, I might be reading too deep into it, but you guys get where I'm going. So even the disciples carried a sword. No doubt. You got to have your utensil of protection. Keep it at that. Your utensil of protection. XRP. I've been hearing a lot of people excited about XRP, man. Hello, Carlos. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is the Chief. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn in the building. What's going on with you? What's in your mind tonight?
I had to piggyback on what you just said. Mm-hmm. So here's the good news, right? The silver lining of the dark clouds we see ahead. Mm-hmm. All of the things that look like it's for bad is actually for our good. Being divorced from this way of life to get ready for the new kingdom. Because in a new kingdom, the poor will be able to come and eat without having money. We won't have a life where it's based on all the things that we're going through now or we're seeing happen now. So all the things that it looks like we're being, the powers that be, they're taking away our rights and our privileges. Mm-hmm. It is God setting us up for the victory. We need to divorce ourselves from the ways of Babylon, basically. Mm.
Yeah.
Everything is going on, this stuff has to stop. The whole earth is groaning because it's being raped for its minerals and resources. People are being hurt daily by everything, sex trafficking, drug trafficking, injustice. So all the things that it looked like it's a bad thing, God said, you can't serve two masters. You can only serve him or serve mammon. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us are being put in a position to choose who is our master and who are we willing to serve. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Mm-hmm. And in his commandments, it has nothing to do with money. When you talk about rethinking the dollar, it's almost like a paradoxical irony, right? Because, we have to pay attention to, the economy because, what is the economy but the people? We spend our money,
right,
and we're consumers, but we shouldn't just be consumers. We're supposed to be wise investors. So like you say, we're supposed to be storing up our riches in heaven. That's being a wise investment into your eternal future. But since we're still here in the flesh on the earth, we do have to consider these things because money is a tool. We're supposed to love people and use money, not use people and love money. And that's what's the problem of the world.
Right.
The root of all evil is for the love of the money. Money is not evil.
Right.
It's what people are willing to do to get the money. So everything we're seeing is taking us away from that. Now that's for the followers of Christ. But for the rest, those who haven't repent, those brood of vipers who they have been warned of the coming judgment, like John the Baptist said to those who came to him that day, he was like, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the coming judgment? Those ones who are setting up the stage for their so-called great reset, God is letting them go their way, just like he did Pharaoh, just like he did King Nebuchadnezzar, just like he did with all the other great nations and empires that came and fell. He's going to let them get full of pride, full of arrogance, and boy, when they fall down, but this time, like the in Daniel's dream of the statue, the stone that hit the bottom, because we're at the toes, we're the mire, miry clay with the iron that don't mix together. Once that stone hits the bottom of that statue, all these empires are going to fall. Now, this is what we should be rejoicing for. And these are the days and times that, we should be preparing not just our financial and physical well-beings, but our spiritual overall well-being, because this body is going to drop, whether you go on with God or not.
Right.
So it's just a whole concept. I'm going to say this last thing.
Yeah.
It's a saying I heard said a long time ago. better to believe there is a God and die and find out that there is none than to not believe and die and find out that there is.
Yeah, 100.
So that's just some food for thought. I just wanted to add on to what you were saying. And right, we're supposed to not worry. We're not supposed to fret. God, Christ already told us these days are going to come. He told us how to be prepared. He always tells us not to fear, not to fear, not to fear. Mm-hmm. Our faith is what's going to please him. And that's that is going to carry us through. And last thing you said about the body of Christ coming together.
Yeah.
There is only going to be a remnant that's saved. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what the scriptures say.
Right.
So we're going to see the great falling away. What is the great falling away? The great falling away is the many who, at the time of Christ, when he was here on the earth, many followed him until he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, many people stopped following him. Why did they follow him? Why? Because he fed them.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is happening now. People, it's like, oh, America is so great. Why? Because we're a God-blessed nation. We have lived a life of living in Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
When during the time of Moses, he was raised up in Pharaoh's household. So he didn't suffer the way of the Hebrew Israelites when they was in their bondage, yet he still knew who he was. Now, for us, we can say we know who we are, but when the true test comes, some of us can escape that testing, but most of us are going to have to go through the trial and tribulation of the trying of our faith to show how much can you really speak well of God? Can you speak well of him when you don't have no food, when you don't have a job, when you don't have your health, when all seems lost? That is what's going to come down to it. So all those who are going to be saved are the people who endure to the end, who they're not going to forget that they're a brother's keeper. They're not going to forget that God is good. They're not going to forget all that there is a price at the end of this cost.
Yeah.
So that's the people that we have to cleave to, because the scriptures say we're not going to be able to trust many, because so many people will end up like how it is in North Korea, where for some food, they will betray one another. You learn about the people that ever defected from North Korea. If you ever hear their stories and they tell you what it was like to live in North Korea, I feel like that would be between that married with the history of the Holocaust. That would be a great idea for modern times. Well, not just the Holocaust, because all of Europe went through it with Stalin and Mao and all that. All of these people, they could give us a great idea of what this potential future could be. But we have to always hang on that no matter what. When there's no food, God is going to feed us.
100%.
When there's no clean water, we're going to find water. Where we don't seem like we have any clothes to wear, he's going to provide. He's faithful. And that's what's going to make us go through it and be able to make it to the end. So
Appreciate you. Laid it out there again.
Have a great night.
You too. Thanks for calling in.
Thank
you. Yeah, buddy. Fiery passion right there, fellas. That's what it is, man. I enjoy it because it's just, you know, it's a wealth of knowledge being spewed out all at one time. And, you know, if it edifies and lift up the Lord, I'm about that life. Anyway, let's keep moving, man. What else is going on? Conscious Observer says, does she stack silver? I believe she has a little weight. I believe she has a little weight. And I would assume, and I saw a lot of crypto stuff. So I think that, as I mentioned before, you know, this show is primarily based upon just the financial and monetary side of things. And so I want to make sure people understand at the foundation of everything, it's ultimately, you know, COVID is ultimately about our currency reset. And so everybody who's a part of the community realize that, but the majority do not. So more people are coming to the community and they're looking for multiple ways of trying to understand what's going on. So I want to make sure people understand that I've always talked about getting your weight up, just because everything we're experiencing is basically about the monetary system, the restructuring. But then what they're using to transition us, that's a whole other can of worms. And that's the whole pandemic side of things with this great reset agenda that's put out there. So I want to make sure I cover all angles as best I can. But ultimately, we all know that this is a spiritual war, of which, you know, we have those that are in position of power that are heavily influenced by a lot of evil. It's no way you can describe this stuff, especially as more people wake up and realize that we're being lied to, and that the lie is not even making sense. You know, just one of the primary lies is you got to protect those that participated from those who have not participated. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we got to protect the jab from the unjab. Like, so that right there would make me stop and say, huh? You know, so I thought I was protected once I got the jab, but now you got to protect me from them, because, yeah, anyway. Rolf said, this year, preacher, I don't know. I don't think she is. I just think she's on fire for the Lord, man. Like, she, you know, definitely is well versed in scripture and just love being able to share with other people. And that's a part of, like, you know, the people's talk show, like, you know, giving people a chance to put that good word to use. Because we're, I mean, you know, technically speaking, you know, according to scripture, we've all been called and appointed to go preach. Now, you know, some of us might be ordained, but yet we're all called to go preach. Now, we don't have to be certified. You don't need a certificate to be a preacher. Just basically tell your story. David says, Mike, any info on the 300 committee? No, not yet. Other than just hearing about it. Let me hit that up real quick. Because I glanced at it before. I think somebody's mentioned it before, but I never really dived into it. Let me see here. So just when I just typed in, the committee of 300, and the very first thing came up is, as also known as the Olympians, is a conspiracy theory. So once Wikipedia tell you it's a conspiracy theory, that lets me know that it's something that was not meant to be, information that was not meant to be divulged, and therefore it has more of what's really going on than what they want us to know. But just based upon this, I wouldn't expect to get no real detailed information from Wikipedia. And so I'm sure there are some books, and I've actually seen some little pictures of whatnot of people posting some truth of that magnitude. So I'm sure there's more information out there, but I will be curious to find out based upon the individuals within that. So here is something. Here's a little, okay, here's a, you know, looks like a nice image that gives some insight into, so just typing in, here's a little image here that appears to offer some insight into what's going on in some faces. We got the Council of 13, a committee of 300, and it says the world's richest, most powerful sub-families. And this is over here. Then we got the think tanks. We got Trilateral Commission, the Council of Foreign Relations, the United Nations. We got the Bilderberg Group, the Club of Rome. Somebody in the chat just mentioned that. We got, what's this other one here? So you factor in all these institutions here. We got the Institute of Something Affairs. And then you got central banks, tax revenue, interest revenue. You got the corporations, and then you got religion on this side, governments on this side, the media on this side. So this is just some information here that points back to the hierarchy of control and whether or not, you know, the queen at the top of this over here is actually the front woman. I would beg to defer on that. But it says the Council of 13 includes the Rothschilds and all these other families. So according to this little pyramid here, a great diagram here, you have all these families, the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and all these just long generational money right here. They're the ones apparently supposed to be above the Committee of 300, which happened to be the Forbes billionaires. So you have the Forbes billionaires like the Bezos, the all those guys, Warren Buffett. These people here will be on the lower echelon of the totem pole. Then you got the Freemasons here, the World Financial Control. And so this is just interesting here. But then look at this. All the governments, all the agencies, all those acronyms here, all those secret services, FBI, SWAT team, FEMA. Yeah, so this is a hierarchy of control. And beneath that, of course, is the people. So this is just, you know, a little bit of information here based upon the orchestrator of what's going on here. Red Boy, I appreciate you, my friend, for being a blessing. It says, go RTD, Big Ten, greetings from the ATL. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for the blessing. And so the queen is at the top in accordance to this little visual aid here. But yeah, you know, once again, I just typed this in on Google or DuckDuckGo, so take it for what it's worth. But just follow the currency. And so we follow the currency to see who are the subcommittee of 300 that funds all these operations, which causes all the war issues we're facing. But then you got the issuers and the owners of the central banks, which would be up here in the Council of 13. These are the people, the Council of 13, these families here would probably be the shareholders of the too big to fail banks, which then are the shareholders of the Federal Reserve banks and all the other central banks around the world. So mind you, every central bank has shareholders. They get 6% off top and they get interest from holding the most shares of the JP Morgans, the, you know, all the other, your Bank of America, Citigroup. So The Council of 13 owned all that. And they're the heavy, they're the heaviest shareholders probably in all the media. So yeah, that's yeah. So it's good to say, you know, the evil one is up at the top of all this. But anyway, I can ramble on, but I'm not. Anyway, let's keep moving, man. Says Toshiba Mike says the seat of Satan is in Turkey. Okay. I'm not familiar with the geographical location of the fake throne. But yeah, keep it moving. Anyway, so it's about the hour point, man. Let's get ready to dial it back as always. It's good to connect. Happy to be back at it on a Monday night. As always, as I mentioned earlier, for those that are just plugging in, wanting to find new ways to just continue to reach other people, to be a blessing to other people, to add value. And so what I mentioned earlier about trying to figure out a way to, you know, gather the community together, man, to be a blessing. Like, you know, for those that are part of the community, you know, believer or not, if you have a heart to serve and a heart to give, there's people out here who need help. And there's going to be more to come. Now it's a matter of figuring out, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing? How can I help people in this day and age for many reasons? Because it's also, and what comes to mind is, and when Christ was talking about, you know, feeding your brothers, feeding your sisters, you do that when you do that to the least of your brethren. And so right now and moving forward, there's going to be enough opportunities to be able to help other people. So definitely want to do that. And then also reading, I think it was Matthew 11 or 12. And it talks about the labor, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the harvest is ripe. You know, there's going to be more in the next couple of months and years due to the people who are not aware and able to discern the signs of the times. The people that participate will succumb to the attack on their body because of this pandemic. And so there's going to be more human souls leaving the earth in the next couple of months, years, based upon the plan that's at work here, than ever before. So therefore, that's the chance for a lot of souls that will not make it to their, you know, their creator, unless people are willing and able and wanting to share the good news to offer them the chance to enter into the family, the kingdom of heaven. And so there's a lot of work, people, a lot of work to be done. And I'm believing God for the opportunity to be able to have the wisdom to know how to do this, because I've never been faced with circumstances. I don't think none of us have, to be able to play a key role in the lives of people and their eternal destination. You know, that's big these days, man. But anyway, I'm going to figure it out. I'm open to ideas and suggestions. As always, for those that are part of the community, I got about 200 or so people already tuned in. I want to encourage you to join the Discord page, link down below, connect with us there, share ideas, reach out to me directly. And then also the Telegram page is beneath this link here. Join that so you can share articles, share videos, or whatnot, and we can communicate that way as well. Jane Ann was a caller. So I don't think Jane Ann, I think the young lady that called earlier, I think it's Latrice from Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken, if you're referring to that. But anyway, there's many ways to be a blessing to other people. I'm open to ideas, people. Let me know. I posted a whole lot of info, Mike, for the people that are in the group. Okay. Jane Ann. Okay, so Jane Ann's probably what she's on here as. So yeah, so definitely do that, and let's connect. Let's end this on a good note, man. I want to definitely lift this up to the Lord, give him thanks for praise, for the opportunity to be able to discern the times and recognize where we're at in life and the part we all play. We all have a vital role in the bigger equation of life, man. And I think right now we're going to find out what that is, Lord willing. But anyway, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight with my fellow brothers and sisters. Father, we ask that you continue to do great things, continue to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can discern the signs of the times and recognize our role in this great movement that you're going to bring forth this year, this decade, this season of life. Lord, I ask that you will continue to move within the earth, Father. Bring your will to fruition, Father. We ask that you give us discernment and spiritual insight on how to be a blessing and how to further your kingdom on this earth, Father. We thank you for your instruction, which comes through your word. We thank you for your spirit, which is our comforter and our guide. We ask that you allow us to recognize the power we do possess already and that, man, we have the authority in this earth, Father, because of who we are and whose we are and who's inside of us, Father. And I ask you to allow us to recognize that, discern that, and use that with confidence. And also, Father, you know, you've given each and every one of us guardian angels, Father, and we are the ones that will judge them on the last day, Father. When I ask you to allow us to discern the times, allow us to put those angels to work on our behalf, Father, to bring about your glory. Lord, we thank you in advance for all you have done and will do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, people, that is all she wrote. Man, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight. As always, hit the thumbs up button, show your support for the channel, and connect with me on Discord and Telegram, and let's have a continued conversation there. Other than that, be blessed, be safe, and I will see you guys on the flip side. Peace. Visit Rethinking the Dollar throughout the day, your place for news on metals, gold, crypto, you name it. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll get a chance to see the daily videos, the recommended videos, and more importantly, the five reasons to unplug from the monetary matrix, with the first one being the awakening period. Step number one, test your dollar IQ. 10 simple questions, average of 60%, follow up with the alternative perspective with the monetary reports. Consider becoming a supporter of the Rethinking the Dollar platform via Patreon. Get a chance to hang out off air as well as additional information that can't be discussed on YouTube. Any support is helpful. With the crackdown on alternative media, the best thing to do is to connect off air. Scroll down to the very bottom. You can find Rethinking the Dollar on Telegram, Audio, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, you name it. The most important ones will be the email list where you can get notified weekly, the Discord page, and make sure you connect on Telegram. And last, don't forget to visit the RTD store where you can get merchandise as well as additional information and resources. And most importantly, scroll down to the bottom and get your weight up with all the limited edition rounds only available on the RTD store.